Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Back in front, Connolly, what a chance! They score! They score! The puck and a rebound for Lars Eller! Eller gets the rebound and puts it home! And Washington leads it! 4-3 with 7:37 to go! The Tiger pouncing at the moment that he can potentially be the hero!
Oh, yeah, the great John Walton on the call. Game 5 on a magical Thursday night in Las Vegas too many years ago as the Capitals won the Stanley Cup and the Tiger ensured that they would take the lead late in the third period, as you just heard there, and give them that lead that they wouldn't relinquish. And now Lars Eller, who was traded away a couple of years ago to Colorado and then signed with those dastardly Pittsburgh Penguins, who was just here on Friday night, and they played Eye of the Tiger with about 3 minutes left, but it was not because of Lars Eller scoring a goal. But now they can start doing that again as soon as he scores a goal, because he's back with the Caps, baby, although he's not expected to play tonight. I know you're not a big hockey guy, but...
What?
Yeah, sorry to disappoint everybody. Lars Eller coming back.
Huge.
A, will help them on faceoffs, help them a little bit on the penalty kill, veteran presence. You know, not that they need a ton of leadership, but it gives them a little bit more depth. I mean, like, to me, okay, you bring in a guy that you know and that you know will be a seamless fit, obviously, and everybody around here that has been around the Capitals knows that Lars Eller is a good dude. Now, is he a great player at this point? You know, 17 games, 7 points this year, but he does win 56% of his faceoffs, or at least this year, so he will help them in that regard. And I think this is... Yeah, I think this is a great move for the Capitals. You know, maybe you give up a little bit more than ideally you'd like. They give up a third-round pick to Pittsburgh and a fifth-round pick that, you know, a couple years from now or whatever it was. I don't want to go over all of the semantics, but the bottom line is you know, you got to give something to get something, but this bolsters your depth at, you know, up the middle. This bolsters your face-off ability, obviously, and it gives you, again, somebody that you don't have to worry about being, you know, a pain in the ass. I mean, like, teams make moves all the time in different sports, and they don't always know what they're getting. They don't always know what they're bringing into the locker room and into the organization. This team knows what they're getting in Lars Eller.
They do. He's an integral part of the Stanley Cup run, like you mentioned, a veteran, helps the penalty kill. I'm more so looking at, like, and this is a better question for you, like, he's not considered a goal scorer, is he?
No, not. I mean, not he can score goals, but not what you would consider a goal scorer.
I just
scorer.
Look at him more so as, like, another tough-minded piece that they've added to the equation.
Yeah. And
you can make the argument. It's been a lot of finesse right. for this group to start through the first 12, 13 games. Like, it feels like. I don't know.
Well,
maybe I'm
finesse might be wrong. I think they've gotten a really good distribution from a lot of different places, but eventually guys are going to go cold, right? Eventually guys are going to tail off a little bit. You know, and more importantly, injuries, right? Like when I look at it, like, they have struggled on that third line, okay, trying to find the right mix, the right guys, what have you. Guys have been shuttled in the lineup, whatever. They are good at 3 out of their 4 center spots. Getting Lars Eller means, okay, Now our third line, as long as he's healthy and as long as everyone else is healthy, you pretty much have as good of a situation as you can ask 1 through 4 at the center spot in the NHL. I mean, again, he's not going to solve everything, but he gives you certainly it was something that they needed. You know, and your familiarity with him makes it easier.
Well, the familiarity does nothing but mitigate the risk. They're playing well right now. I think the one thing is what I would be looking for, and it has nothing to do with Lars Eller, is the tender situation right now with the group. I know our guy, Chucky,
They played very well there.
He played against Pittsburgh. I mean, they got blitzed against Pittsburgh to start, and he was lights out. They put him into bad spots.
Right. Well, listen, you're going to give up, like even Saturday night with Logan Thompson. Like, they gave up some grade-A chances, right? You're going to give up grade-A chances. Now, ideally, you'd like the goaltender, of course, to bail you out. That's exactly what happened Saturday night. It's not what happened on Friday night. I think right now, I don't sense, I could be wrong, I don't sense that they're, you know, kind of really missing anything in terms of, you know, people often want a number one guy. And they say, right, like, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. Well, the same adage could sometimes be used with goaltenders.
Lindgren's clearly the number one guy.
Yeah, but he hasn't been used as the number one guy. They've been rotating pretty much game in, game out.
Back-to-back Friday,
Saturday. No, I know, but they've been doing that all year.
Oh, okay.
My point is they don't have a pure number one guy, right? But you don't always need that over an 82-game season and in a sport that has a lot of ups and downs and swings and whatnot. I truly think that they have, and especially this trade and this acquisition, I truly think that they are bolstering themselves not only for a hopefully deeper playoff run than they've been able to make since that Stanley Cup final, which is to say they haven't been able to get out of the first round, but also that they have the versatility and the pieces that if a guy gets injured, if Charlie Lindgren gets hurt, can Logan Thompson take the...
Sure.
Yes. And opposite of that.
Right.
If Lars Eller comes in and immediately gets hurt, does that suck? Yes. Are they totally screwed? No. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I totally agree.
If I was thinking about this, if the Commanders were... Tyler Biadasz was in and out of the lineup or in and out of the game a couple times on Sunday.
He should have stayed out of the game.
Okay. Didn't play his best game, right? But if he goes down, what is their answer?
It's Mike Dieter.
Right, Mike Dieter. Yeah.
Who's serviceable.
Serviceable. But is he as good as is he as good as Tyler Biadasz? No, right? Otherwise he would be playing. But so I guess maybe this isn't the best example, but some teams are screwed
with their second
when they lose a guy.
Are you talking about the goaltender? Well,
goaltender, I'm just talking about all across the board in sports. Like, some teams are screwed when you lose a guy. I don't feel like the Capitals and maybe even the Commanders at this point, like, again, as we saw, Jaden to Marcus Mariota. Now, granted, level of opponent, whatever, wasn't like, oh, my God, killer. And that brings us back to the conversation of Brian Robinson might be the most,
he's the most
important offensive player for tomorrow night or for the rest of the way.
Rest of the way. He's been the most important guy all year.
More than Jaden.
There hasn't been the two games that Brian Robinson has been ineffective. One, he didn't play. With the two, he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
That third game.
Well, where the offense has been.
Yes. I mean, the two games where the offense has struggled the most.
Yeah.
He didn't play.
I wouldn't say they were terrible in Baltimore. They weren't good enough, but they weren't terrible in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right? They were not super sharp. Period. In any way, in any part of the game last Sunday, despite what anybody wants to tell you about scoring 27 points. Again, you have to look.
He just means so much to their
context.
Identity.
Right.
It's identity. It's the willingness to run the ball from Cliff. He's reluctant to run the football and to call run plays when B-Rob's not playing.
You know what I didn't quite get? And again, every game is different. They had no reluctance once they brought in Chris Rodriguez in the second half against the Giants to run the ball. Now, they ran the ball very well against the Giants in both games. But they had no reluctance there, but they did on Sunday. And again, is that a, well, we Hayward's in the middle there. Those two linebackers are just killing us.
But, dude, you played against Dexter Lawrence.
I know.
Like, that doesn't.
I know.
So that goes out of the window. I don't think it's a personnel thing. I don't know. Cliff just.
Does he fall in love with things too many times? Do you think? Because there was a criticism.
I don't think the patience level is there enough with him with the run game. I don't think he's patient enough with it.
Yet he's been pretty patient, all things considered, this year, right?
No, Chris,
no,
I wouldn't.
No, with the run game.
But it's against certain opponents,
yes,
so
yes.
The patience goes out of the window.
Understand, I'm not saying across the board, but pretty patient is, I would say he's been pretty patient.
Even in the Chicago game, and I know that's ultimately due to Robinson's injury, there was 15 straight plays where he doesn't touch the football. Now, they ran it in that span, but it's different.
Understood.
I don't understand. It's not some type of... That's why I continue to see you upgrade over Chris Rodriguez. It is a situational tell a lot of the times when he's in the game. Because you don't want to call pass plays when he's in the game because he's not a threat to catch the ball.
No.
So there's your tendency breaker. Like, you're hurting yourself with a tendency breaker.
I mean, it's not like he can't catch the ball, but he's just not the threat.
I would love to have another.
And that's the other thing. Brian Robinson is a sneaky, pretty decent receiver, a leak out guy, a check down guy, what have you. So they lose that as well when you don't have Brian Robinson, right? Yeah. I mean, you just do. So I guess the argument is, or not the argument, the discussion is, if they can get Brian Robinson back tomorrow night, which it looks like he's going to be able to.
If they get him back tomorrow night, I feel way more confident about their ability to win. I don't think
they'll
pose some problems for Philly.
Would you say that they can probably score a natural 24-plus points?
Yeah.
Meaning you don't have a lot of gifts from special teams and or, you know, defensive turnovers.
I think they could drive the ball up and down the field on Philly.
I think they could score 24 naturally on their own if Brian Robinson is right. And if he lasts the entire game or much of the game, and I would imagine they would spot him a little bit more. But
and I guess we'll get into this more tomorrow, but the number one key, if they start fast, which they've done, Philly has started slow every game this year. Now, Dallas was the
I think
anomaly.
Philadelphia hasn't scored or didn't score a point until in the first quarter until Dallas, right?
Jacksonville, yeah. I believe.
The week before they scored in the first
quarter. Right.
Jacksonville, but that was the first time they had done it all
year.
So they struggle in that area, and this is where Washington can aid their defense. But it's about the complementary football. So if you get up 14-0, Saquon Barkley becomes less of a factor. Jalen Hurts becomes less of a factor as a runner. So I think you got to have your foot on the gas offensively, and it's about touchdowns. Score touchdowns. Because you can – and this goes back to what you said the other week about what do you prefer. In this game, I'm okay with Saquon Barkley carving me up in between the 20s. If we can hold them to field goals in the red zone, I think you'll win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the key right there.
Well, when you say carve you up, you don't mean 35-yard gains. You mean, like, if he's averaging 5 yards a clip,
right,
you live with some of that because you're trying to keep everything in front of you and you're trying to make them go 8-plus plays.
This is the offense that you want to make drive the length of the field because Jalen Hurts is going to turn it over. And they're going to make mistake.
That's fair.
Or they're going to have a penalty or whatever. Their offense is what scares me.
Is it weird to you, though, to think that Brian Robinson himself, just going back to that, not as important as he is, because I think most football fans understand that, but we're literally saying, though, that Brian Robinson, I mean, again, that's not to say that Jaden Daniels is not important, but like if you did the scales of football players instead of the scales of justice, is Brian Robinson a little heavier on that scale than Jaden Daniels?
It's an interesting debate. I guess the opponent matters, but there's some games on the schedule that you don't win without Jaden Daniels. So that's where I go,
It's fair.
You know?
It's fair. All right, let's get to, let's see here. Mark and Chevy Chase next up on the Team 980. Mark, how are you?
Hey, everything's fine. I'm first off saying, wanting to say I think it will be a great game. I know Thursday night football the past couple seasons, I believe, has been the best product in the NFL. Mm. So I'm looking forward to.
How do you use that as a measure? Like what measure are you using there?
In terms of entertainment.
Oh.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Maybe. So we'll see. So listen to the broadcast. If you listen to the broadcast and the announcing.
Yeah. It drives me crazy that it's on Amazon Prime. Now, you know, again, here locally, I think they have to show it over the air on ABC7 or WSN. I'm not sure where it's going to be locally over there. It drives me crazy that it's on Amazon Prime, though. But that's neither here nor there. Has nothing to do with the game.
But I have one more point, and that is happy birthday to Linnell. It also happens to be my 51st birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Yes, happy birthday tomorrow. Yes, it's
birthday boys.
Linnell, I understand Linnell is long-suffering because four times as a kid, a young adult, my birthday, the Washington team was on such a roll that three of the times they won the Super Bowl, and the other time we came up short against the Los Angeles Raiders. So maybe, I'm not sure if we're quite on the roll, but maybe we'll do it differently one of these years soon or get on that roll.
Why, because they're playing on your birthday? Is that what I missed something here.
I'm saying come November, one year we were on track for 8-1, 9-1, the next year 14-2 or something like that in our Super Bowl years. So hopefully we're having a discussion in January about this team. I have no idea how good we are, but I feel for Linnell. That's what I'm saying earlier in the radio show.
Gotcha.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Mark. Happy birthday to you.
I don't think you saw this.
Yeah, I don't think we should worry, first of all, about Super Bowls and long playoff runs. Let's just worry about right here, right now.
We check your cell phone. So we got a text message from J.P. Finley. Says Skins are fourth in rush yards and attempts, and why is he doesn't trust Cliff to run the ball. It's not that I don't trust Cliff to run the ball. It's when we face the two most stiffest rush defenses in the NFL – they have gotten away from it. It's the patience thing that I don't think he has. Against Pittsburgh, against Baltimore, and I granted, both of those games, you don't have Brian Robinson. I get that. But you understand what I'm saying when I say that. Like, there's
certain spots where they get away from it. But I think that's every offensive coordinator, especially in today's football.
So I'm not trying to just make it a Cliff thing.
Yeah. But JP's right, and I'm right, of course. My overall arching point was, for the most part, Cliff has been pretty patient.
But in the two games against the two, I don't want to say Baltimore was.
Against the higher level. Against
the two best run defenses they've played. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Now, Brian Robinson has not played either of those games.
Right, I get you. But the attempts weren't there to me. They didn't do it enough. Now, obviously,
I agree with you, but again, I would also say
it hurts not having Brian Robinson. Yes. I get that you don't want to have negative. Cliff probably looked at it as, well, every time we run the ball, it's a negative play or no game. And there's a patience level if you're really going to be a running team that you got to work through that.
Yeah, I agree. I think tomorrow night, from a run perspective, and you mentioned it earlier, I would not try and run up the middle and just. Pound. You
honestly
do some of that because Cliff likes inside zone, and why not? But to me, I think you attack the perimeter edges, especially
if you're going to run Bryce Huff. He's 5'9", 180 pounds, playing defensive end. But like, he is one of the smallest edge rushers.
But get out on the edge, and that means more Eckler.
Right.
Probably in that regard, because you want that speed, you want that twitchiness, you want that shiftiness.
It's crazy, though, because at the beginning of the year...
Mm-hmm.
Like, Philly struggled to stop the run to start the year. Like, that was something that was...
Yeah, but teams, of course, improve as they... And again, this is what I always tell you, right? What you see week one, week two is not always what you see week 10, week 11. Just like what you see in training camp is not always what you're going to see week one. Or, you know, again, things change. Things evolve. People evolve. Teams evolve. Units evolve, right?
For sure.
And Philadelphia right now is... a much better defense than obviously they were the first, say, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Now, it also helps when you have as efficient of an offense as they have been over the last month plus, right? Again, you're asking your defense to do less. You're giving more time to Quinyon Mitchell, to Cooper DeJean, to who's the linebacker that you mentioned?
Zach Bond.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's their highest graded player.
And Nakobe Dean's another guy that's really talented. Right. I just think, first of all, Sunday against... We have to break. Okay.
Yeah,
Sunday, though. I mean,
Pat
Quinn played the best game he's probably played all year long.
He's great.
I
don't know if they're going to play that kind of defense again.
I have to go back. Tennessee's a monster.
They are.
I got to go back and look.
But Tennessee, you don't have to fear their offense.
Like, their underneath defenders did some really good things. Like, Deshaun Elliott was great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just go back. If you look at the drive charts against Baltimore and Pittsburgh, it just felt like if you go play by play, they got away from it in some crucial spots. And that's my thing.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I agree with what JP's saying, and because it's what I said. Overall,
yes.
They've been paid. Now we have to figure out, you know, there was criticism of Cliff coming here that he changed as a play caller every year in the second half of the season. Did last week and maybe even beyond before that start to indicate that there's a change? We can kind of debate that, get into that over the next day and a half or so as we lead you up to Thursday Night Football. I'll be in Philadelphia tomorrow. Linnell will be back with us, but he'll be back here. It is his birthday again tomorrow. We'll take a timeout, and we'll get more of your calls coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Why is this one for Linnell?
Just so that he can maintain a happy stance on his pre-birthday, that no woman, no cry. It's all good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sometimes I don't know what goes on in that diabolical mind of Matthew Essig.
I don't know. Did Matt cut off my hearing, too?
No. No.
I'm having some sort of shortage.
Yeah, well, it's because you're busy blaring your theme song, your brand, out of your phone during the break. I mean, I hear it enough. By the way... Ben Conti earlier today, I missed this until just now, he asked Matty if the rooster fed you guys. Well, no, Matt brought in the bagels and I brought in the cake, whatever. He said, just tuned in, Linnell and WrestleMania 61 sound calm. I almost changed stations because I thought someone else was hosting their show. Hashtag put Linnell's name on the show. Well, it's your guy.
Well,
it's your guy.
I gotta get. I'm not even gonna. I'm keeping it. I'm focused on Philly.
Linnell Winningham. There you go. Let's put that name on the show. All right. Let me see here. We haven't heard from Paulie in a while. What up, Paulie? How are you?
Hail to the W's, man.
What's going on?
Hail to the W's. Yeah, you heard from me a while, man. It's just because this show is a disaster.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean, bro?
Yeah. I know what you mean, bro.
Hey, look.
All right, bro.
I've got Windbag Wednesdays and Therapy Thursdays figured out. You know, you give Linnell 6 days prepared for the Rooster, he be on point, man. Because he kills you on his objectives and his points on Wednesdays. And on Thursday, see, that's one thing about you, Russell, that I love about you. You're a quick thinker on your feet. So on Thursdays, on that one day turnaround, you'd be killing Linnell. But Linnell is 100% on point about Kingsbury and his run game. And for me, it's these two teams, and probably two of the most physical teams in the league in Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
They just gave up.
Is where he got punked out. Exactly. Dan Quinn said it too. You know, we want to be physical. Well, you can't pick and choose who you want to be physical against. And you can't use the excuse of, I don't have Brian Robinson, so we can't be a physical team. That's BS. Because you got a guy in Rodriguez, that's his style of running. He came in the fourth quarter of the previous game and had a big game with, 54, 55 yards or whatever. And then you would think that, okay, B. Rob's out the next game. Let's get him some more carries early in the game. We didn't see him again until midway through the fourth quarter against the Steelers. So, and then you got to remember about Kingsbury, you know, as good as he might be as an offensive play caller, you know, and how he's evolving his roots is still the air raid offense.
Yeah, yeah,
and
no
I
doubt.
Think when he panics, he goes back to his roots.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't panic, though.
Maybe it was just.
I think it's the negative. The negative, listen, in no games.
Listen,
yeah.
Listen, when you playing against a good defense, and not even good defense, but a good team in a tight game in the fourth quarter, and you run a wide receiver throw back to the quarterback, you're panicking as an offensive coordinator. I can't excuse him for that play. You don't do that. And I'm not going to kill Kingsbury because for the most part, he's been decent. But it's been times where I'm scratching my head like, why are you calling these plays right now, man? You know, this is not what you do when you're trying to set a tone as the type of offense you want to be. You know what I mean? But I'm not fearing Philly, man. You know, as a fan, you fear a team. That's because you know your team is not good. We got a solid team. We got a good team. You know, so we're going to lace up our chin straps just like the Eagles are. And, yeah, they got good players. They do. Jalen Carter is good. You know, just like Baltimore, Pittsburgh got good players. And good players is going to make plays. And you got to live with that. You just got to make more good plays than they can make. And that's what happened to us this past Sunday. We didn't make more good plays than the other team. That's all. And before I get out of here, hey, Russell, man, I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh man, I wish you would have just signed off before this. Go ahead.
The 999th bone to pick with you, man.
Yeah.
So I hear you, you know, on the airwaves down here on Tuesday morning, you know, and I hear you telling people that you bringing them back cheesesteaks. And I'm like, well, where's my cheesesteak at?
Hmm.
And are you a boy?
That's a great question, Paulie.
I've been yelling at you for 10-plus years.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Early Saturday CBS.
Here's what I'm going to do, Paulie. Here's what I'm going to do. Would you shut up for a second? I'm going to bring your damn cheesesteak back here. And then I'll put it in the mail. And I'll send it to you that way so that you get food poisoning. And then you can't bother me for a week. How about that?
Hey, bro, I got a stomach of iron. I don't get food poisoning.
Yeah, you got a head of iron, too.
Wrap that baby up with some aluminum foil tight, put in a little. I know you got like 5,000 things of Tupperware in your house because all you do is eat and talk about food. Put it up in there. You need me to pay for the shipping and handling? I got you.
Thanks, Paul. Are you done now?
Have a good afternoon, man.
All right, thanks. Yeah, thanks. We gotta go to the trending alert, but
one more quick thing on the running game.
Yeah.
I think against Baltimore and against Pittsburgh is really some of the rare times this year we've seen negative plays in the run game. And I think like those discourage him from running it.
No doubt.
It should, and if that's your identity and it's who you are, you don't let the other team dictate who you are. That's why I continue to use the word patience. I don't think he's got
But
against those two teams, there was a lack of patience, in my opinion, not sticking with.
But new age coordinator, I shouldn't say new age, but younger coordinators.
And it's not a criticism of Cliff because I think Cliff's awesome,
right? But younger coordinators are much less patient with negative or no run. I'm telling you, it is a carbon copy of what you hear from Grant. Okay, they are so like. I'm not making fun of
him. Yeah, you are.
No. What I'm saying is, like, Grant will say, well, you can't run on first and 10 because you take negative yardage and that puts you behind the sticks.
Well,
problem with throwing a screen pass that gets blown up for 3 yards. Or, when De'Ami Brown runs from Landover to Bethesda, that's okay. That's fine. No problem there. You know, that's the point. And I think offensive coordinators now, or play callers, have this mentality that if you take a negative or even a no gain run, that you're behind the sticks, that you're behind, and you can't get out of it. I think they lose sight of the overall value of the run game, to your point.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they run the ball on first down.
They do.
I cut them out.
Yeah, I'll get you the numbers. All right, we got to take a timeout and come back. We'll try and get Dr. Sabah in, and then a very quick cleanup on aisle 3 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders are going to be officially without Marshawn Lattimore tomorrow night. That was expected. Brian Robinson, looking like he could play. We'll see about Andrew Wiley. Thursday night football, we have all-day coverage for you. I'll be in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, for the show tomorrow. And then, of course, the DOC after the game, late night, taking your calls. Before all that, we've got Burgundy and Gold in-game live, interactive programming throughout your calls, all of that good stuff right here on a Thursday night football Philadelphia Eagle Washington Commander showdown, and it's coming up from Lincoln Financial Field tomorrow night. Meanwhile, around the NFL, Kevin Stefanski talking about his left tackle Jedrick Wills, who made a comment that, you know, some of his injury issues that was holding him out was a business decision. Stefanski, who's had all sorts of things to deal with this year, said it was a poor choice of words. Meanwhile, Mike McDaniel, after a big win for the Miami Dolphins on Monday night, is now dealing with questions about one of his former players, a player that Linnell has mentioned today, Deshaun Elliott, said he was looking forward to playing the Baltimore Ravens this week because the team he played on last year, the Dolphins, was soft as, and use the F word. Mike McDaniel, not concerned about Deshaun Elliott and what he thinks. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not known exactly to be soft, and that's where Elliott is this year. Whatever. The Caps going to be without Lars Eller, it looks like, for his re-debut with the team. 7:30, the puck drop, 106.7 The Fan. Meanwhile, we have the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama, but no Greg Popovich against the Wizards. 7:45, the coverage right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. I always forget how weird this song is. It's a damn good song.
Why do you have to describe it as weird?
I like it once it kicks in like it just did.
Because you're not, you don't. You,
no, I understand music.
808s and auto-tune doesn't excite you because you're a piece of toast. You're like keto bread.
Keto bread. Keto bread's good.
What?
Less calories. Less carbs.
Yeah. All the good stuff.
Before we get to clean up on aisle three, which will be quick today, and dum-dum of the day to wrap it up, we get to Dr. Sabah, who's been waiting patiently on hold. Hello, Doc. How are you?
Hello, Sabah.
Hey, guys. I was listening to you guys on airplanes. So I was like, I want to call in, but I was in the airplane. Linnell, I finally agree with you on your birthday eve.
Ooh.
You should be allowed to say some things that the quarterback didn't do as well as he's normally done because he was hurried up, which is what I told Chris yesterday, and he was rushed. He wasn't throwing wide open passes, getting all the time in the world to throw. That's not saying you hate him. I got, you know, Lou, my canine friend, and whom I respect tremendously, and my radio friend, basically, you know, called me a Jaden hater, and I'm not. And about the ticket thing, Chris, I just want to clarify. I told you this on the Twitter thing. On the tickets, I would not buy tickets this season if Taylor Heineke was the quarterback. Because when I bought my season tickets, the VIP ones, the first year, it was Wentz that was the quarterback. And if you remember, Chris, when I was at that first game of the year against the Chargers, it wasn't Wentz, Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick got hurt, didn't he? And Heineke went in the game. So I bought my tickets with Fitzpatrick as the starter.
Right.
And then the year after that, I bought the tickets with Sam Howell as a starter. So,
well, you don't have season tickets this year?
I'm saying that Jaden is a pretty good quarterback.
No, she's giving you gave up the season tickets, obviously, right?
No, because of the name thing. It had nothing to do with Jaden being the quarterback.
Hold on, Sabah.
Okay? Yeah.
We're 10 weeks into the season. This is the first time I'm hearing from you. First of all, you have terrible luck. You have terrible luck.
I told y'all earlier.
I don't know if I – well, maybe I wasn't here. I don't know. But the name?
Yeah.
The name made you not buy season tickets?
Absolutely. I was duped into thinking they were going to change it when the new ownership came, and so I gave it last year, and now I'm out. We need We need us to care about Linnell. I don't think, you know, what? You're old enough to
Doc, you're really smart. Why did you think they were going to change it when the owners came, when the new owners came?
Because when they came on the team, they were on the Today Show and all that kind of stuff.
They said they would look into it.
And the heritage.
Right. They said they would look into it. They would explore it. And I remember people around here in this building were running around like a bunch of chickens with their head cut off going, oh, my God, they're going to change the name. Oh, my God, they're going to change the name. Oh, my God, they're going to change the name. I remember it all. I kept score. They never said they were going to change it. They said they were open-ended. And people thought, that automatically meant they were going to change it. It was the same thing like they said when they were doing the name, you know, the new name, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah,
people were like,
we thought we were going to have a choice.
No, they never said that.
How long have you been a season ticket holder?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been a season ticket holder?
I started recently, those two years, and I did the very expensive 15 grand, 15 to 20,000 ticket, like a year. I spent a lot of money, and I spent a lot of time driving up there, taking time off work and stuff like that. So, if they named them the Red Wolves, you'd be back next year, right? No, something that's us, natives, Americans. Hogs. Red Wolves is not us. It's got to be something that is synonymous with Redskins. Okay.
So how is American
expensive ticket?
How is American synonymous with?
I want the hog. I want the hog X. I don't want no tutty.
How is American synonymous with the heritage of the franchise?
Because the Americans are natives. They're the Americans. What do you mean? They are the original Americans.
Sabah, can you just say that again for my social media? And can we cut the mics off?
And the natives, we could call them the Nats. Guys, you can be like the Nats. New York football Giants.
She wants to be called the Washington Natives?
Yeah.
You can be like Washington Nats.
Or the Washington Nats. Americans.
Hey, Sabah, I
love you, but why don't we just call them, I got a great idea. Why don't we just call them the Washington Commanders?
What?
Why don't we call them 7-3?
Because that's not who they are.
Why don't we call them 7-3?
If it stays like that, Chris, listen, if it stays like that, I'm not paying anything that has that name on it. I'm letting you know it has nothing to do with
Sabah, so if they go on a Super Bowl run,
Love you, Doctor.
Sabah, you realize the more success the team has, the less likely it is for the name to change?
Exactly.
There's a boom and uptick in merch sales right now.
I'm loving this because people are buying Jaden Daniels and team merchandise with the command, and that's exactly how they're going to. This decision, as I've said all along, has nothing to do with what you guys want, what you guys want to identify with, all this nonsense that I hear. It has everything to do with can they sell it or can they not sell it, period. Yeah. And whatever the reason, that's the reason.
Breaking news.
Oh, what's the breaking news?
Brian Robinson officially active for tomorrow night.
So they are...
No game designation. He is a full go.
All right. There you go. That's interesting. Okay.
Okay, so now I have to really think about it. Between tonight and tomorrow, I've picked them every game this year.
America is waiting, like, with
on the edge of their seats.
To find out how Linnell is going to pick this game.
Oh, Chris. I just don't know what to do, bro.
Well, here's what I know what to do. Clean up on aisle 3. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask.
I didn't really ask.
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle 3.
Clean up on aisle 3. All right, we'll have to go through this quickly here. We know yesterday the Bears fired Shane Waldron. Today they made another move. No, it's not to bench Caleb Williams, although apparently some veteran players want that. We discussed that yesterday. We will see. But today they released veteran guard Nate Davis.
I'll be on the phone.
Listen, nobody knows who Nate Davis is, and it's not the matter of whether Nate Davis is good or not. Here's the deal. They signed him as a free agent a year and a half ago. He was not on the injury report all of last week. They tried to trade him. Then all of a sudden, he had a back issue, and he was ruled out on game day. And he was ruled out and sent home because Matt Eberflus, the head coach, said, quote, "We don't want a guy standing on 2 feet with a back issue," whatever that means. He played in 13 games in 2 seasons. First 2 games this year, was benched and replaced, was a healthy scratch against Jacksonville, Washington, even though there was injuries. Former third-round pick, started his career in Tennessee, obviously did not work out. He's still young enough, 28 years old. But he's not going to get claimed on waivers. Nobody wants a sourpuss on their team, and certainly when you got to pay him. So he'll be a free agent. He'll clear waivers. Maybe he'll catch on a practice squad with somebody else, and maybe he'll reclaim his career. But the problems with the Chicago Bears, who everybody was in love with all offseason, oh, they're going to definitely be a playoff team. They're going to contend for a Super Bowl. Oh, they've got Caleb Williams. They've got all the answers. Look at what they've added. DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, this, that, the other thing. Oh, the Bears are awesome. The Bears are great. The Bears are this. The Bears are that.
Gosh, you can't act right. You're right once a year, and you got to rub it in everyone's face.
I was optimistic about the Bears, but anointing them as Super Bowl contenders.
I'm trying to think back to when we did our division, our preview show.
Yeah, I think we both picked the Bears to make the playoffs.
I think I picked Chicago to finish last.
I think I picked the Packers as well. I would have to double check that. But I did. I think I picked the Bears to make the playoffs. So, I mean, it is disappointing. Again, I thought they would be better than they are.
Well,
Like they were getting better before the Washington game.
Caleb has been underwhelming all year.
Why is that? Because of Shane Waldron, right?
It's what they're asking him to do, though. Like, if you were to put Jaden in Chicago, I don't think Jaden would have the same amount of success either.
Maybe not. I don't know. All right, so I wanted to get, with that. One thing that we have not touched on that I mentioned, and we'll have to do it quick, I was watching, I don't know why, the Sixers and the Knicks last night.
You don't know why? Because it was good basketball.
Watching video on Twitter about the Celtics home court. These home courts and these NBA, I understand they want it to look different. I got it. They are hideous. They are awful to watch. You love the NBA. You probably think the league can do no wrong. Do you enjoy watching games on these awful, hideous courts?
No, it's not. It's just... It makes it difficult to watch, if I'm being honest. It's distracting.
Yeah.
But I don't pay attention to it. It doesn't bother me. I don't care as much as you do. I'm not going to cry about it.
Okay.
What I'm going to cry about is how my beloved Wizards are on a 5-game losing streak after showing so much promise.
Yeah.
Against Golden State the other night when they were here. They played really well against Golden State, and they've stunk. Alperen Sengun took Alex Star to the woodshed the other night.
They were feisty and plucky in the second half against Houston. I watched a bunch of that.
But it wasn't enough. He struggled defensively.
Yeah.
Body's just not physically mature enough for a guy like Sengun.
I mean, Sengun's a household name. I mean, everybody knows who that is, right? I mean, you know.
Baby Joker? You don't know Alperen Sengun? Are you joking?
No, nobody knows who that is. All right, coming up next.
Somebody call in. Craig Hoffman would slap you.
He can slap me all he wants. He's wrong all the time.
Clean up in all three.
Obviously, no one would slap each other around here. Please, fans, don't take that serious. I'm just saying, like, he would be disappointed in you.
It's okay. It's
saying
all right.
No one knows who Alperen Sengun is?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's all right. A lot of people have been disappointed in me, and I'm still here. I'm still barking. I'm still rooster
you
calling.
Crow, not bark.
I'm still crowing.
Wrong animal.
Coming up next, dum-dum of the day. It's wicked is one way to say it. It's wicked and it's ugly. We'll leave it at that. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're going to wrap this bad boy.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up real quickly here because Craig Hoffman is coming up next. Anthony Haney is looking at me through the window, so Matt, you know what to do.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Ah, yes. Some of you might be aware of what Wicked.com would lead you to. Well, apparently, Mattel, the toy maker, the kids' toy and doll maker, well, they're not aware. They must not be, because on the packaging for Mattel's Wicked, the movie, dolls, they listed the URL for the movie and for the dolls as wicked.com. But if you go to wicked.com, and some of you might know this, it's not exactly going to take you to children's dolls.
Can I ask you a question?
Or anything about the movie. It's going to show you a movie.
I don't like this, Toe.
I pick up what you're putting out. I should not use our browser.
No,
here.
No, I would not go to wicked.com
You need to give an NSFW precursor, a disclaimer. Sorry.
I don't understand how these companies can make millions and bazillions of dollars and not have a fact check, a back check, something to avoid putting wicked.com instead of wickedmovie.com. Because wicked.com takes you to that Rex Ryan place, baby.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Oh, Rex making a cameo appearance.
Jordan Mailata activated as well.
Ooh. I mentioned him earlier, starting left tackle. That's important. He's a stud when healthy, when right. That is not good news for the Washington Commanders. All right, more from Philadelphia tomorrow. Let Ella be here. I'll be in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field, God willing, if everything works out right. Craig Hoffman up next. Thanks to Matty Ice. And thanks to you for listening, being a part of the show. Adios.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.